Who's ready to go all in? Anybody ready to go all in? All right. Kicked the series off last week and had a great response. Many people just text our staff and leaders were saying, man, how can I get more involved? We talked about that last week, about having a heart of all in. You know, we talk about the series going all in for God. And I ask you how many want to be all in. But I bet some of you here, if truth be really told, that you feel more like you're all out than you are all in. Anyone ever feel that way? I feel like I'm really all out. You know, I feel like I'm struggling, Pastor. I feel like I'm trying to go all in, but instead I feel just the opposite. I feel all out. Maybe some of you here today, you walked in this building. This maybe it's your first time here on a Sunday, and you are at a point in your life where you're desperate, and you say, you know what? I'm all out as I walked in the door. That's why I'm here. I was all out of hope. I'm all out of hope. I'm all out of faith. I need something. And I say you're in the right spot today, because you're going to hear a word that's going to challenge you to go all in. And you're in a place where you can receive hope. You can receive life. You can receive faith. You can receive encouragement, no matter what season you're in. Last week I talked about how we are motivated to go all in, usually by one or two things, either through our pain or through our dedication. You know, and it's not a bad thing either way. One's a lot easier to deal with than the other. But sometimes pain is not a bad thing. It's our body's way of telling us some things need to change, correct? When we have pain, we know we need to go to the doctor. We need to change some habits in our life, some things that need to change. And so pain can drive us to make positive changes in our life. Pain in your marriage will cause you to make some changes in your marriage. Do some things right that you know you need to change. Pain causes us, to motivate us to make the right decisions. We also see in Scripture where dedication was a big motivator, because we've seen those who were all in because of the thing they were facing. Maybe it was the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe it was the lepers. But those who were tired, of being sick, of being in pain, they fought their way through the crowds. They said, I just got to touch the hem of his garment. I just got to get to Jesus is. I've got to be changed. I've given it everything. I don't care what it costs me. Let me see others who were all in through their dedication, like Daniel, who just simply through his dedication stood up. He was all in, no matter what it cost him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all in, no matter what it cost them. Esther, she was all in, no matter what it cost her. We see Paul and people like this who were all in through their dedication. Whether it's through your dedication, whether it's through your pain, either way, God wants every one of us to be all in. This is what he's asking of me, and it's what he's asking of you. What's next? After I accept him as my Savior, what's next? The next step is learning to go all in. He wants me to go all in. So turn to your neighbor and say, he wants me to go all in. You know, you ever heard the story of the chicken and the pig who were walking down the street? And as they were walking down the street, they passed this big charity event, and people were bringing donations, and they were donating things to the charity event. And the chicken looks at the pig and says, hey, we should donate something. We need to help out. The pig's like, you know, that sounds like a good idea. And the chicken goes, I got a great idea. Why don't we bring him some bacon and eggs? And the pig said, that's easy for you to say. You're making a donation, but I've got to go all in to get some bacon. You see, for some of us here, it's easy to make some deposits. But God's asking us to have some skin in the game. He's wanting us to go all in, to sell out. It's going to cost you something to go all in. And this is what he's wanting for us to learn, to give our life all in. We said this statement last week. Let's look at it again today as we kick it off. God wants us to surrender all, not surrender some. He wants us to surrender how much? All, not surrender some. We're good about surrendering some. It's the all that we struggle with. We give him some of our time. We give him some of our heart, some of our mind, some of our life. But where we really struggle with is complete surrender, giving him all. All. But I'll tell you what, there's no safer place to be than a heart in complete surrender to God. Look what Psalms 27:1 says. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, my protection. He's protecting me from danger. Why should I tremble? Listen, when you go all in, you're saying, I am giving up control. I am depending 100% on you, God. And he says, all right, come and abide in the shadow of my wings. Let me protect you. Let me be your fortress. Let me be your shield. Let me be your rock, your foundation. Let me be the one who supplies your need. It's all in. It seems like a risk, but really, it's the safest bet we could ever make. It's the safest thing we could ever do is saying, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. And he's looking for hearts that are all in. This is what he's wanting from us. All in. Last week we talked about the all in hearts and what it took to have an all in heart. We talked about if you're all in, then you got a love for God's word. How do you gauge all in heart? You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, you can't judge my heart. If you could just see my heart. Well, I don't need to see your heart because I see your actions. And your actions speak where your heart really is. Come on, I'm the same way, you're the same way. And people throw out, well, you don't know my heart. I don't have to know your heart. I can see. You wear your heart on your sleeve. Pretty easy. We all do. And today, we learned last week that when we gauge your heart, how do we gauge a heart that's really all in? I gave you some spiritual ways of gauging that. It's not the only way, but it's some part of the way that we can gauge whether or not our hearts are all in. We talked about if you are all in, you love the word of the Lord. All in hearts. David was a man for God's heart. It says that he loved and meditated. He honored. He loved the words of the Lord. All in hearts love the word of the Lord. They love hearing the word. They love reading the word. They love sitting in discipleship times like this, being discipled. All in people love the word of the Lord. Listen, if you're a Christian and you're sitting around debating whether or not what part of this is true and what's not, what's reliable to my life, and trying to use scripture to cancel out other scripture, you're missing it. All in heart says, God, you've given it all for me to learn. You've given it all for me to see how much you've given in my life, what you've entailed in my life. All in people love the word of the Lord. All in people love serving. All in people love giving. If your heart's right, you're going to want to serve. You're going to want to give. You're going to love the word of the Lord. Just some of the ways we can gauge. Now today, we're going to talk about this thought of the mind. How to be all in with your mind. Let's go back to our text now that we read last week, Luke 10:27. When Jesus was asked what's the greatest commands that we can keep, he summed it up with this answer right here. Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with what? Let's say it together. Say all your heart and with all your soul and with your strength and with, come on, we can do better than that. Love the Lord with God with what? Your heart and with your soul and with your strength and with your mind. Are you finding the theme here? He wants it all. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. Last week we talked about the heart. Now today we're going to talk about the mind, loving God with all of our mind. And of course, the last part of that scripture says love, learning to love your neighbor as yourself. So, how do we love God with an all-in mind? We're talking about that today. Loving God with an all-in mind. An all-in relationship with Jesus is intentional, not accidental. An all-in relationship with Jesus is intentional, not accidental. You don't just wake up one day and go, boy, I think I love the Lord. I'm falling in love with Him like I never have before. You didn't just accidentally fall in love with the Lord. You made a point to fall in love. You make a point to grow in Him. And you make a point to say, you know what? I'm going to go all in. It's going to happen because you are intentional about it. You're just not going to get up one day after a year of neglecting your relationship with God and say, boy, I love the Lord today so much. I am so in love with Him. I am so on fire for God. I am so passionate about my relationship with God. It doesn't just happen that way. It happens when you are intentional. Now, passion can happen. You know, when we first meet your spouse, you have that passion there, and you fall in love pretty fast. But how many know to sustain for many years, you got to be intentional about keeping the fire alive? I just celebrated yesterday with my parents their 50th wedding celebration, 50th anniversary. My sister and I gave them a big reception down in Oklahoma where they live. And celebrated 50 years. It doesn't happen unless you're an intentional. You don't stay in love unless you're intentional. You don't keep the fire going unless you're intentional. Same thing in our life. If I'm going to be all in, it's going to happen because I become intentional about falling all in, going all in, all out, going everything I can, saying I'm going all in. I've had people tell me before, and I've had over the last 20 years, I can tell you, I've had a lot of people tell me the same thing over and over again. Pastor, I don't know what it is. I used to be on fire for God so much. Man, I used to be so committed. I never missed church. I never missed a small group. I was always serving in the church. I was always leading. I was always volunteering. I was always giving. And man, I've lost that passion. I've lost that fire. And I don't understand why. And I think, you just told me why. Because if you're going to stay on fire for God, if you're going to keep the all-in spirit, it's going to be intentional that I'm going to be involved. I'm going to give God everything. And when I start backing off my commitments to Him, when I start backing off being intentional on things that are going to grow me in Him, I'm going to lose the fire. I'm going to lose the passion. I'm going to lose the desire. It's going to happen. The only way it's going to stay is when I'm intentional saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be involved. I'm going to get up and read the Word. I am going to spend some time with God today. I am going to have my family in the house of God. I am going to serve. I am going to give when it hurts a little bit to do that way. I am going to give some more of my time. I'm intentional. And then as you do that, you give it all in, then you're going to reap the rewards of that. You're going to see your attitude changing. You're going to see the fruits of that. And you're going to have an all-in spirit that's going to follow that. But it doesn't happen just because, oh, boy, I just felt the butterflies today, and I'm all in. No, it happens because my actions start following my commitment. Are you following me here? So to go all in, it takes something, an equation to happen. You know, the sun is very hot, right? And when you put maybe when it rains out on certain surfaces like a clay, you know, when the sun comes out and it's been raining on a clay mixed with mud, what happens? That will become solid, very hard surface, so hard you can almost go out there and skate on it, right? When the sun beats down on wet clay, it becomes very hard. You take a candle though out there and put it out there on a parking lot on a hot summer day, and what'll happen? That candle will melt. Same sun, two different results. What's the difference? The substance is different, right? Are you following me today? The substance is different. That's why in this room there's people who their minds are like this. God, I want the sun to change me. The sun of the living God. The Son of the Almighty, my Savior. I want Him to change me. And I want my mind is open to being changed. My heart is open to being changed and being remolded. And so His Son will come and He will melt me, make me, and shape me into the person He's transforming me to be. Other people come in and be like, I ain't changing for nobody. I'm stuck in my way. I don't care. I'm good. And you've got your mind made up already. And when the word comes and the sun comes, it's like, just bounces off your head. Because you're hard-headed. And you've already got it figured out. And you're not open to any change. You're not open to instruction. You're not open. See, it's all about the substance. What's the substance of your mind today? Don't answer that out loud. We don't want to embarrass anybody here today. But come on. What's the substance of your heart and mind today? Is it pliable? Is it ready to be molded? Is it ready to be taught? Is it ready to be transformed? You see, because God's equations are different than ours. Come here, Pastor Joe. Pastor TJ, give me a hand here. Pastor Justin. Three guys standing right here in the center. Right here. So what we have happening is this. In order for transformation to happen, I'm going to let you hold the Bible. This is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. He's got his Bible. Open your Bible up, Pastor Justin. Open your Bible up. Okay. Now, what the Word of God wants to do, the Word of God wants to come, it says that it comes, it cleanses my mind. It comes, it imparts in me the ways the Lord has the instructions for me. So the Word of God is trying to put into my mind and down into my spirit and heart, the Word of God is bringing information God is trying to translate to me. God has left me notes. God has left me instructions. God has left me right here, the answers. And so he wants me to take this information and put it in my mind. And then he wants me to take what I hear through the messages being preached or what I read in my daily devotion or when I read the scripture. I hear he wants me to take that information and move it over into application. Start applying it to my life. And as I apply it to my life, then transformation will happen. But many people never see spiritual transformation because the Word of God never moves beyond right here. Not you, because you're a student of the Word. But many people, they've already formed in their mind, my mind is, it's good, it's done. And it comes in, bounces off. Comes in, bounces off. That was good, it felt good, but we never take it and take the next step of applying it. And then once we apply it, then we see the transformation happening. It happens all the time. We'll do a series like this a summer, and I'll have people who will text me, who will send me messages on social media and be like, I've taken the Word you're speaking. I'm applying it to my life every week, and my job is changing. My marriage is changing. My family is changing. My attitude is changing. Every week I hear people tell me that same. I'm taking what you're teaching. I'm applying it, and my life's being transformed. I have other people say, I don't know why I never experienced spiritual transformation. It's because it's not becoming application. It's just not enough to hear it. It's got to move from being in my mind, to hear in my mind, to saying, all right, now I want to let that thing become applicable in my life. I got to apply it to my life. Or is your mind a hard clay? Or is it moldable, teachable? Say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Let it become applicable in my life. Thank you, guys. See, this is the equation for spiritual transformation. We got to let it be applied to our life. Not just hear it. Not just hear it. That's a good story. I've heard it before. No. How is it applying to my life? How does the Word of the Lord I hear today change who I am tomorrow? How does it change my actions tomorrow? How does it change the way I communicate tomorrow? How does it change the way I think tomorrow? How is it going to change me? Am I going to apply it? Or am I going to leave here saying, boy, that was a good service? Pastor G made me laugh, and man, it was good. I felt something, but that must have been for them over there because that won't work in my life. You're going to be stuck where you're at, and you'll never be all in. You'll never see complete spiritual transformation the way the Holy Spirit wants to do this. So let me give you what happens. When I renew my mind, the scripture says that I cleanse my mind. I renew my mind through the Word of the Lord. What happens when this takes place? Number one, I will know God's will. Simply put, when I renew my mind with God's Word, I will know God's will. This is the number one question that I think every pastor gets asked over the life of their ministry. That people want to know either what's God's will or what's God's will for my life. Or how do I find out God's will? That's the number one question. People want to know what's God's will. Even people who are not Christians don't realize that inside them, God has put this into our DNA of thinking in our brain. And even though they don't realize it, God's the one that put it there. And they're out looking for answers. What is my purpose? And they'll always be going down dead roads. They'll never find it until they find it through the purpose of the will of God, because he's the one who put it there. But as Christians, it's the same question we can ask sometimes. What's God's will for my life? I want to do God's will. I just don't know it. And we're so hungry that sometimes we'll drive miles and miles and hours and hours. We think some evangelist can tell us God's will for our life, because people are so hungry to find out God's will. And he wants you to know his will. How do I find out God's will for my life? When I renew my mind, what the Word of God says. This is where I find out God's will for my life. How do I find out how to be a better father? Right here. What's God's will for my family? Right here. What's God's will for my finances? Right here. How do I handle difficult people? Right here. How do I handle rejection? Right here. How do I handle my health? It's right here. How do I treat my employees? It's right here. How do I work as an employer? Right here. It's right here. I don't have to go around to go. I renew my mind in the word of the Lord, and I find out his will for my life. It happens when I renew my mind through God's word. It's right here. It will show me. It becomes the guide that happens when I begin to renew my life through the word, my mind through the word. I begin to see things differently. God's word leads me into the ways of God, which leads me into the will of God. Are you following the pattern? God's word leads me into the ways of God, which then leads me into the will of God. So Aaron comes and says, Pastor Gene, I'm reading the word of God. God wants us to take care of the homeless. Am I qualified to go out here and lead this ministry? No, but, you know, I know God wants us to do it. So I start doing it, and all of a sudden he's doing this, and he's helping clothe people, and he's helping. Next thing you know, he's organizing meals. And now they got a big thing going. They're helping minister to hundreds of people on the weekend, feeding them meals, clothing them. Why? Because somebody reads the word of God. If I had told Aaron a year ago, boy, you're going to be out feeding the homeless, like, not me. I don't know, I understand that, you know. But as he understands the word of the Lord coming to him, and he's applying it to his life, that has led him into the will of the Lord. Are you seeing that? And that's going to lead him somewhere possibly else that God's leading him. All of us are the same way. All of us, as I learn what the will of God is saying about my life, and I begin to understand it, then it leads me into the will of God. As I can step out, all right, start applying this, make it application in my life, then it will lead me into spiritual transformation. We got so many of us, we're stuck right here at salvation. We're stuck at salvation. God loves me. I'm saved. That's good enough. I just want to be a good person. No, God's got so much more for you, but you got to go all in. It's a life of complete surrender, going all in. It's an adventure. It's a place where you're living on the edge. But it's also the safest place you can be. And it's the place where you find out what the will of God is for your life. I follow his leading of his word, and it leads me to his will for my life. See this happening. Look at Romans 12:1. It's one of our favorite scriptures here at Destiny. We believe in it a lot, because it says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. I mean, when you get a view of God's grace in your life, this is what happens. This is a response. When you understand how much God has forgiven you and I, he says, then when you have an understanding of that, then you should offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. The scripture says, I renew my mind through the word of the Lord. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is. His good, his pleasing, his perfect will. This is how I find out the will of God for my life. I have an understanding of his mercy. I have an understanding of how big God's grace is in my life. Now, God, I'll sacrifice. I'll give you anything. You gave it all for me. In return, I'm giving it all for you. So I'm all in. It may be a sacrifice. Most of the time, it will be a big sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice. Say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm all in. And he says, and after you go all in, he says, don't conform to what the world's pattern of thinking is. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word. I don't want to get on this too much because we'll spend all day here and I'll get on the soapbox, okay? But let's just realize this world's pattern of thinking is jacked up, messed up. How many believe that, okay? It really is, okay? It really is. I don't want to start naming things. We could be here all day naming things as examples. Maybe I'll get to some of that next week, okay? On Father's Day. But what happens is this. This world's pattern of thinking is creeping into the church, and we got to guard that, okay? Because what happens is this. We take the message of the cross, and then we bleed it over into other areas that the Word of God definitely said that we're not to cross over. Did Jesus die for all the sins of the world? Yes, he did. He died for everyone's sins. I don't care who you are. I don't care what sin. He died for them all. Can he forgive anybody? Yes, he has. And will he forgive anybody? Yes, he will. Anybody who will call upon him, he will save them. He will. But just because I'm called to love them doesn't mean I have to conform to their way of thinking. Because God's ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. And he has a pattern set. If we will follow this, we will save ourselves a lot of trouble. We will save ourselves a lot of confusion. We will save ourselves a lot of things. And we cannot fall into the trap of letting the world dictate how my mind thinks. As a Christian, the Word of God is how my mind should think. It is the gauge. It's how I renew my mind. It's how I stay focused on God's will. Don't let it become twisted. Well, we're supposed to just love everybody. Yes, we love everybody. That is God's will, but there's also a certain way that he desires for us to live our life. We find it right here. It's a pattern of his Word, okay? It's the pattern of his Word, and I won't know that if I don't renew my mind. Instead, I'll let the world tell me how to do that. And their way will lead to pain, sorrow, destruction. Their way will lead to emptiness, unfulfillment, and death. But God's ways, which are higher than our ways, thank you, Lord. Didn't think the one who created our brain would actually know what to lead us to think. He says, I will lead you into all truth. You renew your mind, then you will know that good. I want that. That good, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. And it comes through the renewing of your mind. So when I renew my mind, I receive and see, discover the will of the Lord. Also, when I renew my mind through the Word, I will become successful. What Scripture says successful is. Joshua 1:8, look what it says. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it when? Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will become prosperous and successful. Now listen, it's not talking about monetary here. This is not a prosperity message or scripture where he's talking about, you know, you do this and you're going to get financial gain. Even though that can follow, you follow the ways of the Lord, you run your business according to the way God wants you to run it. You're probably going to have some success, okay? I'll just tell you. You follow the way you run your marriage, the way God wants you to live your marriage, you're going to see success in your marriage. You raise your children the way God wants you to raise your children, you're going to see success in your family. You work at your job the way God wants you to work at your job with the right attitude, the way you serve Him and serve your employer, you're going to help but get promoted. You're going to get a raise. You're going to get noticed. Why? Because His ways bring blessing and prosperity. Bring his favor. And I don't understand that, and I can't live it if I'm never renewing my mind on what that says. I've got to know what it says. I've got to hear it. I've got to read it. I've got to apply it. That's that big word there, apply. I've got to learn to apply. Everybody say apply it. I've got to apply it. So, this is what we do, though. How many here Say, I believe Jesus should be number one in my life. Anybody here? Yeah. I've preached that before. I want to give you another way of thinking about it, though, okay? Because I think sometimes we get this confused a little bit. And you guys come and help me again. Same guys, if you won't mind. Give me a hand. Keep it on top, Pastor TJ. You're going to have to hold the word this time. All right. We live our life or say, all right, priority-wise, I'm keeping God number one. Hold the word of God up. Number one, my relationship with God should be uno numero one, okay? One. One. Number one. Everybody say number one. We all agree as Christians that God should be number one in our life, and we prioritize our life this way. All right, it's God first, then my family, then my job, and then others, right? That's kind of what we think about it. This guy's kind of a general. If I was to ask somebody here, probably most 90% of you would probably put that's what our priority list should be. God first, then our family, then our job, and then serving others. We kind of think that's kind of a good way of living our life. But this is the problem. God is first. But then we get down here living our family, and our family's struggling, and then we're not acting anything like the employee or employer that God's called us to be, and that's struggling, and we don't have anything left over to serve anybody else. Forget about that. We're still struggling right here. But instead of dealing with our family, instead of dealing with our job and our finances, instead of dealing with how we serve others, we say, but, you know, at least I'm keeping God, number one. And then that kind of trumps everything spiritually for our life, right? Well, at least I'm keeping God, number one. Everything else will just work out. If I keep God, number one, everything else will just fall in line. And that's not true. We have misled you. The truth is this, the only way this will work out is if I keep my relationship, yes, number one with God. That should be my first priority, my relationship with God. Everything, me and God. But then, my family, it should be, God should be involved as the top priority in my family as well. In my marriage, in my children, in my job, what God's word says about how I run my business, about how I work, my ethic, everything should be according to God's word. How I serve others should be according to God's word. God's word should be all through our priority list, not just the top of it. This will transform your life. I've been there. Well, at least I'm keeping God first. I'm just doing good to do that. No, God doesn't want to just be the number one piece, which is in principle true, but he wants to be throughout the whole ingredients. Are you following me? Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. This is God's desire for our life. And when I learn to renew my mind and what God's word says, I find out his will. I'm led by his will. And number two, I will find success. Just simple as that. And number three, I will have my breakthrough. Many of you here are wanting that breakthrough. You know, When am I going to have a breakthrough? When you begin to renew your mind with the word of the Lord, breakthrough happens. You want to know why? Because as you read the word of the Lord, you understand, God, you have never left me nor forsaken me. God, you've forgiven me of all my sins, not just the mild ones, but even the bad ones. God, you've forgiven me. Oh, I understand here that your word says that my past is no longer haunting me, that I'm set free from anything. I don't have to live according to generational curses passed on from generation to generation. But God, you set me free. Wow. And your word says you'll never leave me, never forsake me. Your word says you'll lead me daily. Your word says you are with me, empower me through your Holy Spirit, that you will send your comforter. You will send your guide. Wow. I'm understanding your mercy, that no matter how bad I've ever been in my life, your love has forgiven me. And I understand this, and it drives me to a new place. I get breakthrough when I realize he's not leaving me. I get breakthrough when I realize he is there leading me. And the only thing I've got to do is learn to surrender my life. I've said this many times, and I want to say it again here, that we've made that statement. If you've grown up in church at all, you've heard it just like I have. We need more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit. And in essence, that is a very true statement. But in all reality, The Holy Spirit needs more of us. That's what really needs to happen. We need to learn to give up full control of the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's wanting to do something. We just got to give him control. He's wanting to lead. He's wanting to bring you to your breakthrough. He's wanting to show you God's perfect, good design and will for your life. And it's better than where you're at now. I promise you. It's better. It's higher. It's bigger. I can tell you, God's dream for this church is bigger than what I can dream of myself. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. And I don't find it unless I renew my mind. When I don't renew my mind, I let limitations come in and box me in. Well, I can only see this in my lifetime. I can only see this accomplished, and it narrows my thinking. But when I read the word of the Lord and see the promises of God for my life, and see how faith activates God's heart. I dream big. I dream big. My faith increases. Look what Psalms 119 says. Psalms 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. It's his word is a lamp, right? His word is what's leading my direction. It's his word. Renewing my mind is leading me on the path he wants me to take. And Jesus made it very clear in a parable he told in Luke 15:8. Remember he talked about the woman who lost her coin? He goes, what? A woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep through the house, and search carefully until she finds it. We know the light of the lamp, according to Scripture, is the word of the Lord, the light that the word brings to us. So this is the question. Have you lost something? This woman lost a coin. Jesus said she had to light a lamp to find it. What have you lost today? You lost some passion? Renew your mind. Light a lamp. Have you lost your way in your marriage? Renew your mind. Light a lamp. Renew your mind. Light that lamp. Have you lost your way in your desire, your commitment? Open the word. Renew your mind. Light a lamp. Have you lost some desire? Open the word. Light a lamp. Search and you'll find it. All in. It's not just the heart. It's in the mind as well. He wants all of my heart and all of my mind. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that your word brings instruction, it brings truth, it brings freedom in our life, and brings growth when we apply it to our life. Today, I want to make sure today, before going any further, I ask this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the first priority I've got to do is just simply ask Jesus into my life. Ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I've never asked him to forgive me my sins, but today I want to ask him to forgive me my sins, make him Lord of my life. Nobody's looking around but me. We won't do anything to embarrass you at all. We want to make sure you have a chance to make that decision today. If that's you, can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make Jesus my Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? You haven't prayed that prayer before. So today's my day. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You haven't prayed that prayer before. So today's my day. I want to ask Jesus to my life. Thank you, guys, for being honest. Several hands going up. So we're going to do this. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins. I accept what you did on the cross. I give you all of my life. All of my sin. All of my hurt. All of my dreams, I give everything to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Give him a big hand, yeah. Big decision. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we want to invite you as you leave today to stop by the back Welcome Center. We got a free Bible and some information on what to do next. We would love to give that to you. If you don't have a church home, please come. Be a part. We want to help you along. If you have a church home, go home and tell somebody, hey, I accepted Jesus today. What I need to do next? Now, how many today with all heads up and looking eyes open say, Pastor, I want my not only my heart, but I want my mind to be all in. Anybody here? That's you? I'm challenged to go even deeper. I'm going to stand on our feet today and say, God, I'm making this a summer of all in. And I want my mind to be all in. I want to learn, God, what it means to renew my mind in you. Come on, we're going to sing this song that simply says, break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. And as we do this today, there's power in his word, in the renewing of our mind. Let's declare it, make it personal.
Come on, let's sing this out this morning. Father, we thank you. Come on, everybody sing it. There is power.
There is power.
In the name.
In the name.
Jesus. Jesus. Come on, sing it out. There is power.
There is power.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
There's so much power.
There is power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And it breaks every chain. If you're ready to go all in this morning, I want to see you lift up your hands and say, there's power.
Break every chain.
Come on.
Break every chain. Hey. Break every chain.
One more time. To break every chain. To
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Lord, I want to pray for you today. Let's raise our hands. God, I give you everything. God, we give you everything. We are giving you all of our mind, all of our heart. We're giving you everything today. I pray, the Father, our minds begin to come renewed through your word. Help us to apply it that we can be transformed to the will of the Lord. Transformed into your image. Transform into the man or woman you're calling us to be. God, today, we're all in. We say all in with our mind, all in with our heart. God, teach us. Stretch us. We're going all in. You're going all in. Put your hands together and say, God, I bless you today. Thank you guys so much for being here. What a great packed house on a summer day. God's up to something. Stay here. Get connected. All in, baby. We're all in. Give someone a high five and say, I'm all in.